I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Your all-day resource for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on any smart speaker, the KSL News Radio app, and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Maria Chaleo, sitting in today for Jeff Kaplan. Partly cloudy skies and 90 degrees downtown. KSL's top story this hour.
Wild weather.
There is potential for heavy rain in southern Utah later today, but storms could make their way further north tomorrow. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt has more.
The National Weather Service says we'll see scattered storms along the Wasatch Front this afternoon and evening, but the likelihood of more consistent storms starts tomorrow, and they'll be heavy duty.
With any storms that develop, you know, they're capable of producing very heavy rainfall, as we've seen, as well as frequent lightning, some hail, and gusty winds as well.
Meteorologist Monica Traphagen says those storms are hovering further south today, leading to possible flash flooding.
For southeastern Utah, the Lake Powell area, Capitol Reef National Park, you know, south central Utah, including Kanab, and also the western portion of Canyonlands.
She says they're also watching burn scars with the potential for debris flows under the heavy rain. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
Utah's governor and water managers together announced some new ways to focus on water conservation in this ongoing drought. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards has the list.
They say this plan has four focus areas to really control water use for decades to come. Secondary water meters statewide will reduce excess water use by about 20 to 30%. Land use together with water planning will happen in the beginning of a development. Agriculture water will be more a part of that water planning discussions. And then they want to add a statewide turf buyback program.
More cities and water districts are adding rebates to localscape or add in more waterwise plants and shrubs. The Pacific Northwest is set to sweat again. Temperatures are soaring in the low 100s in some areas after already seeing some record high temperatures this summer. The dangerous heat is also affecting the south central states and the Gulf Coast. The heat wave is ratcheting up wildfire risks in addition to being a public health risk on its own. FEMA Administrator Dan Criswell took her first trip to the West since being conferred back in April. Criswell reiterated her view that the agency must tackle climate change's influence on disasters like wildfires and droughts. Currently, 82 large wildfires are burning across 13 states. The largest blaze in the lower 48, the Bootleg Fire, has burned through more than 410,000 acres. KSL's top national stories this half hour. The president is stepping up his COVID vaccination campaign, asking states to pay people to get the shots. ABC's Andy Field has details.
The new incentive is all about the Benjamins. $100 each, the president says states should give to each newly vaccinated citizen, and they can use the COVID relief money to pay it. The president also telling all federal workers and on-site contractors they'll need to attest to their vaccination status, and if they haven't gotten the shot, they'll need to wear a mask and get COVID tests 1 to 2 times a week.
The president's plan not only includes incentives for vaccinations, but rules on federal employees getting their jab. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with more.
Members of the military are included in President Biden's new policy requiring federal government employees to show proof they're vaccinated against COVID-19. Like other federal employees, if members of the military are not vaccinated, they'll be required to wear a mask, do social distancing, and undergo weekly or twice-weekly testing. President Biden's asking the Defense Department to look into how and when they'll add the COVID-19 vaccine to the list of required vaccinations. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has said he's not comfortable mandating a vaccine for the military before it has full approval from the FDA. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The Baltimore plant that had to stop making COVID vaccines after contamination issues can now reopen. Emergent BioSolutions announced that the FDA has approved the plant to start up again. It had been producing vaccine materials for Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, and it mixed up ingredients for the two vaccines, destroying 15 million doses of J&J's vaccine. A COVID outbreak in Santa Cruz County, California, is being linked to an indoor concert.
On July 18th, the band The Grateful Shred held an indoor show at the Felton Music Hall in Santa Cruz County. Since then, nearly all of the band and crew have tested positive. Concertgoers and at least one staff member at the concert hall are also positive. Jason Hoppin with Santa Cruz County.
We're still trying to understand the scope and source.
All shows at the hall are canceled until August 5th, and now masks will be required and staff will have to be vaccinated. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Here in Utah, the state reported more than 1,100 new cases of COVID today. Department of Health says that number is completely preventable because nearly everyone who is getting sick is unvaccinated. Three more people have died, and 353 people are currently hospitalized. The Utah Transit Authority says ridership numbers are getting close to what they were pre-pandemic. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly has the numbers.
Not only are more people hopping back on buses and trains, UTA's chief operating officer tells the Standard Examiner they've restored more than 90% of services which were cut in spring of 2020. UTA says system-wide, ridership increased 32% in June of this year compared to last June, with frontrunners seeing the largest increase in passengers. Officials say it's still down about 25%, but each month they're seeing more and more people get back on public transportation. Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
Ricky Meese, what do drivers need to know this afternoon?
Well, we do have slowdowns setting in, but not on I-15 in Utah County. Looking good there. Southbound I-15, Salt Lake County, heavy and slow. Murray to Sandy and Davis County delays also waiting ahead. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Still to come on Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News. Did you know all the popular baby names now start with L? Jeff Kaplan's going to tell us why coming up in his Minute of News.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.